This week's episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers rents premium strollers in the Orlando area. Whether it be a single, double, or special needs, they can help you out. Kingdom Strollers is also Disney approved, which means they can deliver directly to your hotel and pick it up when you're done. The next time you're headed to the Orlando area, don't pay extra to fly with your stroller. Save that room in your trunk for those extra pair of tennis shoes you'll know you'll need. Contact our friends over at Kingdom Strollers at www.kingdomstrollers.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 185 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going into the world of Pandora. We're fresh off the annual pass holder previews, and Sam's back literally 4 or 5 hours off the plane to talk about his experience at Pandora and Animal Kingdom. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
It's great, Ed, and it feels like just 4 hours ago I was walking around World Showcase. I was, but that's a whole nother story.
Oh, yeah. Now, Sam's lucky enough to have a job that has him traveling around the country, and I'm sure some of the trips are kind of a bummer, but...
A lot of them.
But when you get down to Orlando... And you have the opportunity to get to the parks for a couple of days, I don't think you could beat that.
Not at all. So I had an opportunity in the evenings to hit a couple of places and was lucky enough to join our good friend Johnny Hollywood at one of the previews of Pandora, which is really cool. Although I do have one other really cool thing that I ran into, and it has to do with the new security procedures down there, Ed.
Oh, yeah, okay. Let's hear about it.
So here's what's cool. So we know now, or we have heard, and now I can validate after being there, the monorail area is secure. So if you're getting on at any of the monorail resorts, you get to go through security before the monorail, and then when you show up at Magic Kingdom, you're just going to go right into Magic Kingdom Park, right up to where they're going to scan your wristbands.
Almost like it's 10 years ago.
Almost like it's 10 years ago. In fact, all of the... stands where the guards would be standing and checking you, it's sort of surreal to see those empty, because what they've done is moved it over to a location by the buses, because if you're getting off of a bus, you're coming through security.
Okay, great.
But here's the cool part. Because the monorail system is secure, over at Epcot, security has been moved outside of the monorail ramp, which means... Once you go through security at Epcot or Magic Kingdom, you're in a secure location and can ride the monorail without going through security again.
Oh, nice.
How cool was that?
That is really nice. Well, I'm glad they were that obvious. Like, they actually realized that was the case and let it happen.
And you could tell there was a lot of planning that went into this, because when you're leaving Epcot to go up the monorail ramp, you realize that you're still inside of where the security is checking people's bags. So when you get on that monorail and you get to the transportation to ticket center, the security there is out closer to where people are getting off of the trams for the parking lots. So you're still inside of it. You go down the ramp and come back up the line to go to your monorail of the Magic Kingdom, and you go straight over and get off. And walk. It was great. The monorail or the boat. You didn't have to go through security.
Now, before we get off of it, you mentioned Magic Kingdom and the transportation center. They were checking you between the trams and the ticket booths?
Yes. So if you were parking at the Magic Kingdom or at the Transportation Ticket Center, you would come up and get out of the parking lot shuttles, and security was basically there before you got to the ticket windows.
Okay.
So they moved it up significantly, which allows that to be a secure area. So
sure.
It's sort of like going to the airport and, you know, you make your connection. You don't have to go through security again. Same kind of thing. You make your connection at the transportation center and you don't have to go through security again.
Right. Well, good. I'm glad that they're definitely thinking about
it
cool. And doing things about it.
I just remember that. It doesn't fit the Pandora show because we're going to Animal Kingdom, which has its own security. But
Oh, yeah. And you know what? There's so many new things that are happening every week. It's kind of tough not to talk about, like the mobile ordering and things like that.
Yep.
But we're definitely going to catch up with it. We might actually mention it a couple minutes once we get to the restaurants. But today is the Pandora Show.
Pandora, the World of Avatar previews May 2017.
Awesome. So now it's fresh in Sam's mind and it hasn't gone anywhere. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk through Pandora because, you know what, to be honest with you, I've seen some of the cast member videos and a lot of them are really kind of random where I'm not really sure where they're looking from or how they got where they got to. So what we want to do is try to walk from the entrance of to the Pandora area, kind of where they had those walls by Tiffin's, and just walk the whole way in and try to get Sam's insights as far as what he saw for the first time and kind of things that he picked up. We're not going to really go into too many details, I think, as much as more of the impressions that he got.
Which, to add a little twist to that from an impression point of view, I have never seen the movie Avatar.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You were saying about that, which I still can't believe.
And purposely, I did not watch it before going because I wanted to see what the impression would be like for someone that's never seen this movie going to Avatar Land. Because obviously I could have rented it or purchased it or whatever, but decided not to watch the movie before attending the previews.
So you know nothing about the story at all?
I only know what people have told me, the obvious, the blue people, and that it follows very closely the storyline of Pocahontas. And that's really all I know.
Okay, fair enough. That actually says a lot. Okay, well, great. Here we go into the land of Pandora. Now,
well, but first, before I go across the bridge, I'm stopping in the Nomad Lounge because that place is absolutely incredible and it's worth a stop. It's air conditioned. There are couches. It was a perfect place to kill an hour and a half before our preview started, which was on a Wednesday evening from 6 until 8. What they had done is packaged the annual pass holders into different slots. You got your time slot, which was good because it allowed us to sort of see a little bit of nighttime and a little bit of daylight. So that was sort of neat.
Okay. Well, what time did you go?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Okay.
They let us in a little early, so we were probably in at 5:30.
Okay, nice. And Nomads is nice. It's got a nice outside area, too. It's not
absolutely
too hot. And we, I've actually stopped in there the last time to get a drink so I can go watch the animations on the tree.
When you're sitting in Nomad Lounge outside, there's sort of an overhang that points towards Avatar, but you can't see anything in it outside of the trees on the outside, and that's sort of a recurring theme here, because once you're in there, you can't see anything outside. Better get a little bit ahead of myself.
Good. No, that's what I want to hear. Now, we've seen the wall for 2 years. And
yep.
My first question basically is the wall completely gone, and do they have any markings that tell you you're entering Pandora?
The wall is not completely gone. In fact, it is still the classic green wall with a door on it, and they open the door up, and there is a cast member with a magic band reader who is making sure that you're registered and allowing you to enter. And that happens pretty much on the Discover Island side of the bridge, so before you go over the bridge.
Right. You'd think that's going to just disappear once the
previews
are over.
That'll be gone as soon as the previews are over.
Right. Now, is there something inside that gate or something in there that denoted? And the way I'm thinking is, because when you enter Africa, you have the big pillars, and when you're entering into Asia, you have different things denoting where you're going. Same with Dinoland, you have that big bridge with the bones and everything. What Pandora is? How do you know you're in Pandora?
So there's no big archway, but there is on the left-hand side a Welcome to the Valley of Moara, Pandora. And I will have a picture of this in the show notes. And a theme that I caught on to but didn't quite know what it meant, it is presented by the Pandora Conservation Initiative and ACE, or the Alpha Centurion Expeditions, which I had no idea what these two things were as we walked in. But it was the first time I saw those two logos, and they repeat themselves throughout Avatar Land. And in fact, I'll read from the sign as you walk in, because it's sort of a map of the territory. Owiniki Kamali, or I see you. I'm sure I butchered that, but... The indigenous Navi people, in partnership with Alpha Centauri Expeditions, welcome you to Pandora, a world similar to Earth, but unique in so many ways. Enjoy and explore. There's some visitor information that warns you not to feed the wild animals. Stay on well-established trails. No fires. Enjoy the bioluminescence. And do not run from large animals. Those are the warnings that they post as you walk in.
So it almost sounds like it's a nature preserve or a park almost.
It a lot like that, sponsored by this ace.
Now, here's something, and do you want to hear things from the movie? Because
absolutely, yes.
There was no ace in the movie, at least that was a major part of it. It might have been the overall name that got these people to this place. And as far as the other group wasn't in the movie either. So it's definitely created for this land, and it definitely ties into Animal Kingdom and nature and the preserve and things like that ideas. So, okay, great story.
And the map that they show you has an ace base camp. It highlights the main entry path, which is sort of the pathway that you're going to go on when you get into this territory. It has a lot of hiking trails and multiple observation points. But there's no really here's this attraction or that attraction. It's just a here's the base camp in the territory, go and explore. And I think that's a lot of the feeling that you get. Come in and explore this Earth-like territory, which has familiar things, but things that are definitely alien in constructing what they are. It's kind of neat.
Gotcha. Now, from the entrance to the land, was there a transition plant-wise, or did you go right to another planet?
We went straight to some... It's sort of a smaller area coming across that bridge, but it sort of opens up to you on the inside. The path gets large, and there's some large areas and photo opportunities as soon as you walk in.
Okay. Now, there was that really long pathway as you came into Camp Mini Mickey way back when, that was basically just a way to get into it, and it didn't have a lot of stuff. There were some nature things on the right. I remember the Duck Scouts were next to that little stream that were there.
The Duck Scouts, I forgot about them. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. So now, is there anything to keep you interested as you're walking along that path?
The path opens up. You sort of just go around a corner, and then the whole land opens up in front of you. There's lots of little ways that you can go. You can go off to the right, off to the left. Reminds me a lot of walking through the oasis when you first come into Animal Kingdom. Because you got different types of plants and you see this alien type thing, but you could take a trail to the right, or you can go straight, or you can go left, and there's lots of little nooks and crannies and interesting little things to see.
Okay, now when you come around that corner, do you see everything, floating islands, trees, the rides, waterfalls, all at one shot? Or is this a matter of a discovery where you're going to walk around and see more of those different things that you've seen pictures of?
As you walk around, you're going to see more of them.
Okay.
They sort of, they slowly reveal themselves until you get that weenie, which is the floating islands.
Right. Very cool.
Floating islands, floating mountains, whatever they are.
It's incredible either way.
Yes.
The pictures I've seen, and not being there in person, of course, I can't tell for sure, but it looks like they pulled it off. You can't tell they're like being structured.
No, absolutely not, especially not with the waterfalls that are going around these things. And once you get around that corner and it opens up to you, this land of Avatar, once you're in there, you are in there. You can't see anything outside of there. You are completely surrounded and immersed and welcome to just keep walking in. And as you turn around, you're not in Animal Kingdom anymore. You are now in a different place.
Good. That's exactly what you want. That's awesome.
If this is immersive, I'll make some comparisons as we go, and I don't know if we call this a spoiler alerts, because there will be some, and if you want to be completely surprised, by all means, I would recommend you guys go and check it out. But if you want to learn some more, please listen in. It immerses you as much as Cars Land immerses me in California Adventure, where you feel like you're in that set or that location, And it's interesting because I don't know the set or the location, but I feel like I'm in it within Avatarland.
Nice. So now, on your trip coming into Avatarland, which way did you go? How did you start exploring?
You know, I'm going to say we kept going straight, and for no real reason. I mean, when you walk in, there's no signs that tell you what's where. Like, there's nothing that says there's a restaurant to your right or there's an attraction straight ahead. It was more, wow, where do we go here?
And, you know, that was going to be one of my questions is because Animal Kingdom, I think, is excessively signed. So I was curious if they were going to continue that in here also.
So the land in general, if you step back, right, this is Pandora, the world of Avatar. And if I look at the preview map that Disney had handed us as we were walking in, which is a map of the area, and I'll scan this and make sure it's part of the show notes. Journey to the all-new land within Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park. Explore awe-inspiring attractions, unique shops, and themed dining. So at its highest level, this is two attractions, two food and beverage locations, two merchandise locations, and two restroom locations. So it's Noah's Ark of Avatar. It's two by two by two by two.
I was going to say, I thought the symmetry was like really incredible. Although I took a look at their website, and it looks like it's a full service restaurant and maybe not so full service restaurant and a bigger store and not so big store. But tell me, what do you think?
Yes. So the restaurants themselves, not full service. And I think the full-service restaurant for this area is Tiffin's, quite honestly. Within there, it's a counter-service restaurant. It's a counter-service restaurant, and the first one that features mobile ordering, which I did not need to use. The restaurant itself was laid out very nicely. It reminded me somewhat from a seating point of view as Sunshine Tree over at Soarin'. The way that it was laid out, but it was a traditional counter service, except when you walked up to the counter service, to the right you would order, or to the left you would pick up any of your food that you had ordered online, which is kind of cool.
Okay, cool. Now, the elephant in the room is the mobile ordering. Give us a real high view of that.
So it is available via the My Disney Experience. The latest update, you simply go to order food, and when you click that, it would come up and show that the restaurant here, the canteen, I'll just leave it at that, is available for online ordering. You had to make sure that you could get back there, but it was later in the day when we were eating, and I couldn't use it. But it has such promise. I wish that I could have used it at Epcot the day before, because being able to simply go in and pick things up, I think, will be amazing.
Oh, I know. It's definitely going to work out until there's a line on the line picking up for the mobile order.
Well, so they issue a push notification to your device to say, come and get your food. So I don't know. I haven't seen this in action, but that's what it promises, that ability.
So it's ready for you just to literally pick it up. Nice.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so the Satuli Canteen. It's nice how they use canteen word
Satuli,
again.
Satuli Canteen, yes.
We heard canteen elsewhere, didn't we? Jungle Cruise, Skipper
Canteen. Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah, so now we can't talk about a restaurant without asking you what you had. Did you eat at the Satuli Canteen?
I did eat at the Satuli Canteen. A couple of things that I noticed. One, from a menu point of view, it reminded me of, so basically pick your protein, pick the type of sauce, pick the vegetable or the potato that you want it in, and then make it for you. So you picked chicken, beef, tofu, and I think it was a sustainable fish. And then you pick what type of sauce that you wanted that mixed in, and then if you wanted it with rice or one of those other things. Very good. Full silverware and plates, which I thought were sort of interesting, like a real bowl that needed to go back through a dishwasher, reminded me of Flo's V8 Cafe from that point of view,
okay. Which
is really cool. There were some interesting things on the menu as well, and I can remember a magazine article while this was prepping where Joe Rohde essentially said, you want the food to be somewhat familiar but yet weird. Like when you visit a new place and you eat what the locals eat, they put something in front of you and you sort of look at it and you go, wow, that's a little strange. But then you eat it and you're like, oh yeah, that tastes like chicken. That type of thing. So on the menu, they had a thing called a pod, which looked like a sort of a bag that was something inside of it, right, that you could eat. And apparently it's like a cheeseburger when you get it, but I did not get one, and I probably should have. But it's a good example of a pod is what, in Pandora, they eat, and it's like a hamburger.
Okay, well, let me ask you this as far as what you thought food-wise, where they got the idea. Did it seem like it was basically humans traveling to another planet, bringing things familiar to them, and then modifying it to match some of the things they used on the planet to supplement it? Or were they trying to go after, like, true Pandoran, you know, blue people food?
I don't think they're going after blue people food, and here's why. All of the cast members are wearing name tags that have that ace.
Okay, so we're still at the base. We're eating humanized food.
And they're all part of that ace. In fact, when we get to some of the attractions, the Fast Pass machines actually have ace on it. They're not Mickey-shaped. It's not a Mickey to Mickey thing. It says ace, which was kind of interesting.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, and we'll get to the rides, but did you see any natives at all other than on the ride queues or the rides themselves?
No, did not. In fact, it's interesting that you ask that because there have been some rumblings, and I believe, based on some cast members that I do know, that those natives will be there when this officially opens May 27th. But up until then, there weren't any. Although, I will... something that I noticed immediately that I thought was really cool. You know the Wilderness Explorer that they have all through Animal Kingdom?
Right, sure.
There's a Wilderness Explorer sign inside of Pandora with the little sticker that looks like one of the Navi avatars or one of the blue people.
I'm really going to love that backstory. Like, you're going to finish that by taking a rocket to Pandora?
And that was my thought. How are they going to tie that in? But it's clearly there. It's Wilderness Explorer. There was even a table. The umbrella was down because nobody was there. But there's the Wilderness Explorer station. And it's one of those things that, as you explored some of these paths, I just sort of ran into it, which was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. Discovery Island Crib kind of does sound like that.
Yes.
Okay, well, take me on a ride. I got to hear about one of these.
All right.
Pick which one. Or which one did you go on first?
So we have two attractions here, the Navi River Journey and the Avatar Flight of Passage. Let's do the River Journey, which, by the way, interestingly enough, Ed, the attractions are both in the same building.
Oh, really? You know, I see the map, and there's a big mountain chain at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Like a big, and I can see the lines kind of going in there.
You got it?
Okay, that kind of makes sense.
That's the huge building that you can see from the parking lot. That's absolutely massive. And you're looking at the back of it.
Does it look like a building from the parking lot?
From the parking lot, it looks like a big gray building. It's one of their go-away colors. So right. You can also see it from the bus stops. But when you're in there, no, it's a mountain. This is a huge mountain. And one of the attractions, the Navi River Journey, you walk down around it to the bottom, which is where the River Journey takes place, and the other you sort of trail up the mountain through the queue system, and it takes place towards the top of the mountain.
Oh, great. And that totally makes sense for what you're doing. So perfect.
You got it. So the Navi River Adventure, and I have a question for you. I'll read the description. Journey deep into the bioluminescent rainforest in search of the Navi Shaman of Songs.
Okay, there was a shaman who was the shaman of the tribe, the group of people that lived under the tree, and I'm sure that's who we're talking about.
So I don't know if it's that one or not, but that's who we're in. So this is a river journey.
It's 30 years down the road, and
you got it. So there's more.
Gotcha.
Or maybe this is going to be a character in a movie that hasn't come out yet?
Maybe? I don't know. I've seen the video of her, I'm assuming. I don't know. I think you would generally have to have a shaman in any follow-up movie you have. But then again, time frame-wise, I'm not sure where they would go with Pandora Part 2.
Got it.
You know, Part 1 had an ending that led you to believe it wasn't going to be a peaceful Part 2. But it's still unclear. They could jump 30 years into the future, for all we know. And it could be a Jurassic Park-type destination, but a different planet.
Got it. Makes sense. So the Navi River Journey, which I do have audio for that we can listen to in just a second, this is... the queues of both of these attractions are completely different. The queue for the River Journey, winding down towards the river, the plants and the foliage take on more of a water flavor, so the water plants kind of a thing. You go into a village and sort of a hut where the queue is. There wasn't much of a queue. I can say that looking at this queue, there's a lot of switchbacks in some really big places, and I hope I never have to wait in those switchbacks for this.
They both have fast pass, right?
They both have fast pass. The fast passes were not available during this preview, but there wasn't a lot of people back there, so we basically walked right onto this one. Once you get back there, very similar. It's a water ride, meaning it's a boat ride through the river. It's a river journey. The boat itself, I would say, is maybe the size of the Mexico boat ride. It's smaller. It's only two seats and say three people in each one, maybe.
Okay, that is kind of small.
So it's smaller, but when you look at it, you can tell that it was woven with the materials that they have to build this thing. So they don't have fiberglass on wherever we are, if that makes sense. So it's woven together, and it's kind of neat. It's a nice slow voyage. Lots of bioluminescence, which I didn't really know what that was, but it's basically plants that sort of glow. So you see these plants glowing around you. Some of the effects are absolutely amazing. In fact, some that I think of right away, sort of like a three-dimensional view where you have up behind these plants, you can see in the distance an animal sort of walking in the background. And that animal is most likely on a screen. So take elements from the Mexico ride, you know, the screens with Donald all over it. But now what you do is have some foliage in front of it, and you can see through it into what's behind it. And there's like multiple levels and layers of things moving around, which made it really cool.
Now, when I saw the preview, I saw the two dogs that came in, are dog type animals, and I see what you're saying as far as behind the trees and such. Was that a better type of animation, or was it just kind of the screens, like you're saying?
I think it was screens. Okay. That's what I thought, but there were so many things happening. There were, you know, some of these plants you could see through them, and you can kind of see bugs hopping down onto these things or something, a grasshopper, I don't know what the heck these things are, but the plants would kind of hop along, like you could see it hit it, and it was moving. It was very detailed in what was happening.
Right. Now, one of the things that stood out on the videos, and this isn't going to sound too nice, but it seems like the humans took crickets with them to Pandora. Did you hear crickets, or was it a different, was it a different sound than crickets?
There were definitely not lots of sounds. Both in the attraction and outside in the queue area, there's lots of things happening. And in fact, even outside in Avatar in general, you could hear howling in the distance, and then almost sounds like somebody's answering it back. Now, what I've also heard is those sounds change throughout the day. So you get different sounds in the morning than you do at night, and which is kind of neat.
Cool, because in the movie, there's always animals, there's always predators coming after you. So that was definitely something that the main characters had to contend with.
Got it. And then that would make complete sense.
Yep.
Now, the River Journey, it's a good ride. It's relaxing. You're sitting back. You're watching all of this. And then when you get to the end, because this is to find the Charmin of Songs, absolutely incredible animatronic. This thing is amazing. I look at that technology and go, wow. This is a 7-foot-tall creature that's sitting, playing some drums, singing, and looking at you. And it's so fluent, and the motion is perfect, and it's the next generation animation.
A lot from Elsa or similar?
I would say better than in Norway.
Nice.
And better than because... And they've done something to the face to make it better. Like when if you go back to Buzz Lightyear and you remember the Buzz,
the animation.
Yeah, they're projecting on his face and it's sort of a cartoon. And Anna had a little bit of that, I didn't get the sense of that at all here. It was like I'm looking at somebody that's talking to me, that's singing in front of me. If that was the payoff for this whole thing.
Gotcha. Nice. Beautiful. Okay, and as you exit out of the river ride, does it exit into a store?
This one exits not into a store, but very near the Pongo Pongo, which is the a food and beverage location, the second one, which has glowing drinks, which basically means you put a glow cube inside of a drink, and now it's a glowing drink. But some cool frozen nice. Drinks and things along those lines. It's definitely not a counter service or a sit-down. It's more of a, what can I compare it to? Compare it to Hollywood Studios, the frozen Coca-Cola that's over by Echo Lake. Right. But feet, okay. Much different, obviously.
Sure. So it's not like full counter service. It's just basically a snack.
Yeah, but when you come out, now you're in a different place. So you're exploring a different area that you didn't see before, and you're kind of like, okay, where am I here? I'll also say that it wasn't very... There's no big sign anywhere that says Nave River Adventure here. You sort of had to look for it. Now, obviously, once you find it, you know where it is and you're going to return to it. But it wasn't, hey, it's over here and no big lights. It was just sort of like once you looked in the general direction, you could see a Fastpass machine and some cast members welcoming you over. But it wasn't, you got to find
intentional?
I'm not sure. I think it could have been.
Okay. As opposed to, like, opening day of the park, they're going to put signage in. I hope it's kind of like that. That'd be kind of cool, and having to consult your map to learn the land your initial time in there.
Sure.
Although it kind of goes against anything you would think a park would have, making rides hard to find.
It does. It does, yep.
But it's a novelty there. Okay, so this was the river ride, and then the other ride now I've heard a lot of good things about, the Flight of Passage.
The Avatar Flight of Passage. So this, according to Disney, fly on the back of a mountain banshee during an exhilarating 3D ride above this vast moon. Which, by the way, is the first time I thought, oh, we're on a moon? I didn't know that.
Oh, neither did I, actually. I'll have to watch the movie one more time.
That's what it says. I don't know. We're on a moon.
Which it's
okay.
Totally plausible, because a lot of science fiction movies, moons are... The moons in Star Wars were
sure.
A lot of moons.
Absolutely.
Were used for their bases and stuff like that. Okay.
Absolutely. So this Flight of Passage, the queue for this starts at the base of the mountain. The queue winds its way up the side of the mountain. It starts, and it is one of the longest queues I've ever walked through.
So now, is this, when you're saying going up the mountain, is it like Big Thunder, you're going up like
no,
a big hill to
so,
get inside
No, so we're
it?
Sort of going in the mountain first. So when I say we're going into it, when you look at the way it's laid out, there's something to see around every turn. So it's almost like you're going through the history of the Navi, because now you have a lot of, almost like over at Spaceship Earth, where when we first learned to communicate, we wrote signs and drew pictures on walls and in caves. That's sort of what you're walking through. And one of the interesting things here, the line is really long, and we weren't waiting in all of this, right? In fact, we were walking right through it, and it wasn't clear where the line went. Did it go to the right? Did it go to the left? There were sort of little nooks and crannies in here where you'd be like, oh, wait, that's not the line. The line goes that way. So that was interesting to see.
So we're gonna use that knowledge to cut in line?
It didn't go anywhere, though. It was kind of like, it was interesting. It was different. Then once you started to go through this area, it sort of resembled Little Mermaid at Magic Kingdom, except you're going up instead of going down, if that makes sense.
Sure. So that's sure. Like caverns and caves.
Caverns and caves, and you're going and you're cutting back and forth, and you're sort of going around places. And then once you get through this first part of the queue, it transitions into some sort of a lock system where now you're in a laboratory. So now what happens is you're at the
So is that, you went around a corner in your laboratory?
You sort of went, well, you kind of saw it coming, and then yes, you went through a door, or more like a lock. You know what I mean? Like you step through the lock system like would be in a submarine or something along those lines, except obviously it's really big. And that takes you to the researchers, and it looks a lot now like the queue over at Dinosaur, where you have the researchers and that type of thing. The researchers are here working on the Na'vi ecosystem and the Banshee ecosystem, and they're trying to figure out how they can leverage or use these systems, which I guess is a big premise of the movie, right? Where you got the Avatar, and the Avatar is what allows you to ride the Banshee, and this shows you a lot of those experiments that are being conducted.
Okay, so it's 30 years later. He seemed to be riding the Banshee pretty well in the original movie, though, so I hope they really got it down.
I think that they did. One of the big payoffs here is when you come around one of the corners in their labs, because they're experimenting with so many things. There's a huge tank, I guess is all I could say, a huge tank, and inside of it has got to be a 7-foot-long Na'vi that's in there with cords attached to him, and he's just kind of floating in the water.
We finally got to the movie. Cool. That's the Avatar they grew from your DNA and the Na'vi or the local.
Got it.
And they basically combined your DNA so that you can specifically neural transmit your thoughts into the sky. And it's literally a moving Avatar, just like from a computer.
So they explained that in the pre-show, but we haven't gotten to the pre-show yet. So it was kind of neat to look at, but the creature's incredible, because you just sit there and it's sort of like its fingers twitch and its toes move, and it's wow.
And it's just floating?
No, it's just floating. Yeah, it's floating in the tank. Floating in the tank with its eyes closed, just sort of twitching and doing things like that. And then as you go through here a little further, there's some other experiments where you see the eggs that they're doing some things with, and it definitely some good theming.
Yeah, no, eggs, have no idea what that is.
Egg development.
Eggs, the Banshees.
Banshee egg development.
Gotcha.
Must be.
Gotcha. Okay, so you get to pre-show. You get to learn about the Avatars.
So then next, this line keeps going. You will go up the mountain, you go into the research center, then you go into an outdoor queue, which is more like the outdoor at night jungle thing, and then you get to the pre-show.
Okay. Now, I saw people going into the pre-show. It looked like kind of an odd setup floor-wise, or where you're supposed to stand?
So you're going to get a number, 1 through 16. They're going to break you into 4 different rows, but that's different if you're in a fast pass line or the other. And by the way, I did get to use both lines, because the first time through, we broke down after the pre-show, so we left and did some other things. It came back through the fast pass line, and the fast pass line cuts out just about everything I talked about from the queue point of view.
Well, that's good to know, because, you don't want to go in standby, but you want to go in standby.
At least once to see some of the stuff. Yeah, I wouldn't wait long, but to see some of these things, absolutely. But they break you into different lines, and then essentially they give you number 1 through 16. That becomes your number for the ride, and first in the pre-show, you walk in and look for your number on the floor. Not that dissimilar to Mission Space, where when you go over there, you look for your number and you sort of watch the pre-show. You watch a pre-show on a screen. They explain to you what's happening, everything that you just mentioned about linking the DNA so that you could ride the Banshee, because if a human went near a Banshee, basically you would be lunch for the Banshee, is the way it was explained, if I remember it.
Well, yeah, you got to be at least 7 feet tall. That's where the Avatar comes in.
I got it. So the Avatar takes care of that. A couple of interesting things in the pre-show, because we went through it twice. There's the pre-show that plays, and then think of any of the Disney pre-shows. The guy's looking at the screen telling you why he's pressing buttons and doing things, right?
Here's right, Dr. Whoever.
Exactly, like any of them. Like Bill McKim back in the day, or the guy over Dinosaur, that's what he's doing. And then at one point he goes, oh, wait, hold on a second. And the screen kind of goes black, and he comes back. And the pre-show continues. But the two times we went through the pre-show, when he came back, he was talking about something different. It wasn't the same pre-show both times.
Interesting. Like, what would be different?
So the one, he talked about the research that was done by the researcher that discovered that you could do this.
Oh, that's incredible. That's a great idea. Mission Space, if you had the basics and then you had something different every other time.
Got it.
Nice.
And in the other one, they were telling us about the history of the Na'vi or whatever. But it was different, and I'm going, wow. And a couple of things crossed my mind. Is this a different pre-show every time you ride, or can they adjust the length of time of the pre-show? which would be kind of interesting.
Oh, in case it took a while.
It took a while because as soon as this door opens and you leave this pre-show area, now you walk into a room that's really long, and there's 16, well, actually there's 8 and then 8 more, so there's 16 total in 2 rooms, where you first see the ride vehicle, which is this, it looks like a spinning class that you're getting ready for. I think that's the best way I could get it.
There's a bunch of bicycles right in a row.
All of your personal belongings go on the wall to the right. There are lockers, call them that. Put your things in a locker. Then you go to the left, and they basically tell you you're going to sit in this device like a bicycle and push yourself forward as far as you can get. So you're
kind of like a Tron cycle?
Kind of like a Tron cycle, sure. You sit in this thing. You have a handle on the right and on the left. You're leaned forward as far as you can with this thing between your legs, like a motorcycle or a bike or a coaster, whatever you want to call it. A strap comes up and hits your back. They click that into place, push you in as far as you can, and you're just sort of looking at a gray wall, which is kind of interesting. Okay. If you look down, there's a video playing, and it's you on it for a second, and then there's some percentage signs that are flying all over the place, and you're just sort of strapped in here. Okay, now what's going to happen?
Okay, well, okay, before the ride starts, let me just ask you one other quick question from the movie, because this was a major part of the movie. Okay. The Na'vi, the avatars, they have a tail knot, or a part of their hair that comes out, but it's actually like a physical part of their body that has these feathery ends to it that connect to the different animals that they ride. So each of the animals on Pandora has this stalk that comes off of them also that has these feathery ends, so that the Na'vi, attaches it, and they basically have a mind connection with the Banshee or the horse equivalent that they use and stuff like that. Did they mention any of that?
That was explained in the pre-show, yes.
Okay,
that entire
because that was one of the things where you have to make the connection. Okay,
yeah, and in fact, now that's what we're waiting for, is for that connection to happen. Because when that connection happens, that's when you are in the avatar, right, or viewing it from their point of view.
That's when the gray screen goes away.
Well, so it's not even that. So the gray screen, actually, I think it's got lines going back and forth. I think it's a door of some sort. Now, I should also mention, step back just a second, you're handed some flight goggles as you walk in, which are 3D glasses.
Oh, cool.
Which are, you know, the next evolution over Star Tours, because these things are pretty cool. You put these flight glasses on, you sort of sit there, and as it gets closer and the percentage comes up, there's smoke that comes into the room and strobe lights that come into the room. And then you're seeing a star field, and you're zooming into it, which to me looked a lot like hyperspace. That's supposed to be when you're making that connection, which is what I learned after. And as soon as you make that connection, the smoke clears away, because you're a little disoriented, because the lights are flashing right in your eyes, right? You're disoriented, the lights go away, and bam, you're jumping off the mountain that you just climbed to the top of. In a system that is three-dimensional, a screen as big as Soarin' that you're looking at, looking straight ahead. It's like, wow, this is crazy.
Okay. Do you see the guy next to you?
So I see the person sitting right next to me, because there's 8 of us in this little compartment, right? Because they split us 8 and 8. So I see the 8 of us. And for a little while, I thought it was just the 8 of us, quite honestly. It's flying, it's moving. You can feel that thing underneath of you, which is the Banshee, is breathing, and it's pushing against your legs. You can hear it breathing. It's pretty incredible.
Nice. Now, another part of the big flying scenes in the movie was you had a big predator Banshee try to take you out, big orange thing.
Yeah, there's a big orange thing that chases us, yes.
Gotcha. I was wondering if he made an appearance. There
he
is.
Did. So flying is awesome. You're flying. You're up. You're down. This is a simulator. This is taking Soarin' technology and adding to that elements of Star Tours and kind of giving you the best of both. Because you're moving like Star Tours, but your screen is more like Soarin', which is really cool.
Nice. Excellent.
I didn't know what we were flying over or what we were looking at or what the animals were, but it was really cool.
Right, and I want to bet they're going to be flashbacks to the different animals we saw during the movie. I'm going to guarantee
that. I'm sure that they are.
Was there anything?
Go ahead.
Was there a big black panther-looking predator running around?
Black panther. There could have been, yes. And there was a stampede of things that looked almost like rhinoceroses, but they weren't. And we got really low, and then we came. You're all over this thing. And then at one point, we went across the beach, and everybody's cheering while we fly across the beach. And I'm wondering, this is cool. It's a beach, but I don't know why everybody's cheering. But then we, do you know what I mean? So that
they thought they were in storm.
And that's the. So I'm getting to the where the ride's cool, but also where I was lost because I didn't know what these things meant. There was no connection for me for those things.
Well, the beach doesn't make any sense to me either, though, because I don't remember a beach from the movie.
Okay.
It was pretty much in the jungle for the majority, for all of it, basically.
So that could be... is it in another movie?
Part
I don't know.
Maybe.
These things could be in the next movie coming out, and then we'll make an emotional connection with it. But the technology was awesome. It was probably a 6 or 7 minute ride, and I'm going to say it took a good 4 minutes before I finally looked around, like up, down, and around. And I realized the 8 people that we were in, there were 3 rows high of those and probably 3 wide of other people in the same thing.
Wow. So they're running a lot of people.
They're running a lot of people at one time, which is why when you sit in the thing initially and you look straight ahead and there's a little percentage bar that goes up, they have to get everybody clicked in before they can say go. So for a little while, you're kind of sitting there looking at this gray thing going, okay, what happens next? So you kind of lost a little bit of the feel of the ride, but it was cool once that happened. And then when you looked around, then I'm thinking, oh, this is similar to some technology I saw at the park down the street.
Right, exactly. And that's what you keep hearing, different things.
Well, they're comparing them. Not Harry Potter. I was thinking more Simpsons. Because that's the simulator where everything comes up, but you didn't realize it for most of that ride until I like, oh, I got to see how they're doing this thing. If I didn't think that, I would have never known those other people were in there with me. Because you don't see any feet, you don't see any raids. They're physically separated. The rooms.
Nice. Good. They've learned their lesson.
That was cool. It's a great ride.
Okay, so now. This one had to end.
This one absolutely ends in a gift shop. This ends in Wind Traders. After you exit, one of the first things that I noticed on the right-hand side, you could become a Navi and take home your miniature version of yourself with your face on one of the Navis.
Similar to the Han Solo carbonite.
You got
thing,
it. That, it's like, detecting in production all the time. That's exactly what it was, and that's exactly what I thought of. The old detect me, Han Solo or Stormtrooper or whatever you wanted to put your face on. Now, that it's the same booth and the same everything, and it's funny because I've seen those. My daughter did it as Belle in down at Downtown Disney when they were doing it for the brief couple of months. Same system, sit in it, takes your picture, and then they digitally print it and get it to you.
Oh, I hope they keep doing this in the other parks, too.
Yeah, well, Star Wars, man. It's got to be, right?
Yeah, true. Right, exactly. Okay, so now the last thing we're going to talk about tonight, and this is probably one of the other stars that we've been hearing about for the entire, like, construction years, is how does this land look at night? Because to be honest with you, they push that big time, meaning once the lights go down, the Pandora environment lights up, and you've seen a lot of different pictures and previews. Did it really live up to its reputation?
So we were there for 6 to 8. Park closed at 9. We saw some really cool nighttime effects, and I think some of the simplest ones were there were lights that came on around that just the sidewalk glowed. It had this green blue tinge to it that was just beautiful, and it looked awesome, right? And if you peel back the onion, there's shining black lights from up above onto something that was already on the streets. It reminded me of, you know, Epcot's got
the star sign.
Yes, so it was like that, except there's nothing under it. It's just like, where did this come from? But I don't think that all of the other effects were ready yet.
Gotcha.
So because the word is there are things that you touch them and they light up, or you touch them again and they change colors, and you can see the plants that would do that. In fact, I touched them, and they are, you know, some type of ceramic, so I could easily see how it could change colors. But we did not experience nighttime as I think it will be at the end.
Okay. Well, something to
look forward
to.
Yeah, as we didn't experience the characters, which I think will be there too.
Right, right. And I could see some of the the Na'vi walking around, and that would be interesting as far as interacting.
Yeah.
However, language-wise, it'd be interesting to see how that would work. Would it be something perhaps Stormtrooper-wise, where the voice is provided for the characters, and is it really a face? They're 7-foot characters, so are they on stilts, or are they going to be... It's going to be interesting.
It'll be very interesting.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so we're going to close up on this incredible visit to Pandora. Any last thoughts about the land as far as your impressions on a hit, miss? This is going to be great. What do you think?
So, a couple of things. Number one, I think the land is a hit. The land is completely... You are completely submersed into this experience, whatever it is, right? You are inside of a land that is completely disconnected from Animal Kingdom. It doesn't feel like you're at Disney World. It doesn't feel like you're in Animal Kingdom. You're someplace else. And I think that's what Disney wants. And ultimately, that's what we hope gets replicated for Toy Story and Star Wars Land, right? Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That was
I'm expecting that. I'm expecting that totally for Star Wars. Pixar Land, okay, I can understand in Hollywood Studios where it is and stuff like that. But Star Wars Land, yeah, I want to be on a different planet.
Yeah, so that was a home run into what they were able to do. Mentioned before, Ed, that you see a lot of pictures out on social media and you can't tell where they're from. That's because of these different platforms that you can visit. And you can, you know, climb up this little trail and there's a platform where you can take a bunch of pictures. And then you come back down and there's a different place. And so there's lots of places to get different angles. And there's no bad angle in the entire place. It's cool. There's no bad angle. So I think those things are a home run. As far as the attractions go... I think that the River Adventure is cool. I wouldn't wait, I'd wait 20 minutes for it, but it's going to fall in that category. I'm not going to wait any longer than that. The one thing I will point out, I know that there's some rumbling out there, and we did ask Disney, they're going to bring one of the ride vehicles from Flight of Passage to the bottom of the queue because there were some concerns from guests who... didn't know what they were getting into, weren't comfortable being in it because you are sort of strapped into this thing. And some people just didn't fit. And people with big calves, believe it or not. So they were having issues not with super large people, but people who just have abnormally large calves because of lifting weights or whatever the case may be. It's because that thing wraps around you so that you can feel it breathing type of a thing. I don't know if they're going to fix that or not.
I never would have thought that would be an issue.
It was an issue, and if you Google out there, you'll find some people complaining about it. But they're supposed to bring one of the vehicles down so you can see if you fit in it before you wait in the line.
Right. Well, that's only common sense. They should be doing that. I mean, they did that with Dumbo the first before it
well,
even
right.
opened.
That's what I would think. So Pandora's awesome. You know what? It absolutely gives you a reason to be there, be at Animal Kingdom at night. It does.
Right. Right. If you didn't already have with the safari and with the tree, then yeah, you're right. This is going to be really, really fun. And you know what? I'm checking out the summer hours already. And Animal Kingdom, again, second year in a row, is basically the latest park open almost every night of the summer.
Yes.
How
many extra magic hours a week? More than one, right?
Yeah, no. It's either got two or three, plus it's got morning ones. And there's only a couple times Magic Kingdom is open later, but the majority of the time, it's Animal Kingdom.
And it's a huge play by Disney to say, don't look over here at what's going on at Hollywood Studios. Look how great Animal Kingdom is right now. And,
right. Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
fine with that. I have no problem with it.
Sure, because you know what's going to happen at Hollywood Studios? You've just gotten assurance that it's in good hands because Pandora turned out so
well.
And
that was one of my concerns, Ed. Absolutely. That was an initial concern. If this isn't as immersive as I hope it is, and plus, think about what the Imagineers had to do here. And this goes back to Joe Rohde originally and his work with Cameron when they started this. When Avatar is filmed in the movies that they're doing right now, and I've seen them present this before, they are the actors are in front of a green screen and they are live rendering the backgrounds behind the actors. So all of the scenery, everything that's happening is completely computer generated. And it's on screen for a split second, right? And as Joe Rohde put it, you know, 90% of you watching a movie is watching the actors and everything behind it's just part of it. But what Disney had to do is flip that equation around and make 90% of this about an environment that was computer generated that had never been built physically. So you have rocks that are in the air with waterfalls coming out of these floating things, and it's amazing that they were able to pull it off to what they did.
Great. It sounds incredible, and I can't wait to get down there. We're only down there for 4 days in July, and probably a day and a half we're going to be in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, so what do you do for 4 days now down there, right? When do you get Disney Springs? When do you get to go and check out the...
That's right. Disney Springs won't be happening. Hollywood Studios might be just the half a day, like afternoon and evening.
For fireworks. Star Wars fireworks. The only reason
I cannot miss the Star Wars fireworks. Exactly. And I figure you can go in the afternoon and hit a couple rides and have no problem with that and just relax. So, it's going to be a great summer. I'm so looking forward to Pandora. I'm so glad it turned out. Thank you, Sam. Now is a treat. We're going to listen to the audio Sam got from the Navi River Journey and from the Avatar Flight of Passage.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
So now it's cool. You can definitely listen to it tonight. And then stay tuned. Sam's Disney Diary is going to have those videos for you, and you'll be able to watch it then.
Absolutely. And hey, if you like this show, make sure you come back next week for the Disney News Podcast. We're going to be talking about fireworks at Magic Kingdom.
Well, looking forward to that. There's a lot of changes going on there, and we're going to be talking all about it. You've seen the new shows. Joe's seen the new shows, and John has. And I'm hearing all great things.
Supervise your children. Bienvenidos viajeros. Para su seguridad, favor de permanecer sentados con las manos, brazos, pies y piernas dentro de la cabina y supervisen a sus niños. Gracias.
Chance to undertake an amazing Navi rite of passage, riding on the back of a mountain banshee. And the way you're going to do this is by being connected and matched to something called an avatar. Avatars are genetically engineered bodies that were made using a unique combination of human DNA and Navi DNA. Avatars are very similar to the Navi, but by using special equipment, we're able to link to them and control them with our minds. Using avatars to fly this way was all figured out by my boss, Dr. Jackie Ogden. She leads her science team, which is part of the Pandora Conservation Initiative, and we're here in the Valley of Moara studying banshees and their environment. Over a generation ago, this enormous company called the RDA created a lot of damage to the area through their bad mining practices and conflicts with the Na'vi, Just like on Earth, it can take decades for ecosystems to recover. Okay, to get you flying on a Banshee, we need to find each of you an avatar. Let's prep the genetic sampling.
I'm on it.
Okay, first we need to find the compatible match of your genetic material with the genetic material of one of the avatar bodies that we already have. Once we do that, you'll be able to link to that avatar and fly. Help us out and move around a bit. Almost. Yes, got him. Now, let's find you your avatar matches. Alright, you've all been matched with avatars. Looks like they're ready for you in the next room. When the door opens, please go inside, all the way in, and stand over the same number that you're standing over now. And I'll see you in there. Great, you've all made it. It's important that you can all see me, so move a little if you can't. Before we send you to the link chamber, let's watch this piece by Dr. Ogden, who runs the program.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Dr. Jackie Ogden from the Pandora Conservation Initiative. You're about to experience a ceremony that's very special to the Na'vi, flying on the back of an Ikran, or as we call it, a Banshee. To the Na'vi, connecting to an Ikran and flying on its back is an incredibly important rite of passage they call Ikni Maya. With permission from the Na'vi and in partnership with Alpha Centauri Expeditions, we can now bring this amazing experience to you. The way you'll be able to fly is by linking to an avatar that's already on the back of an Ikran. Let's see how this works.
We establish a link using powerful psionic amplification equipment. A human driver is connected to an avatar, which could be physically hundreds of kilometers away. When you follow our technician into the link chamber, you'll see a series of 16 link chairs. Please go to the number that matches the number you're standing on now. First, you'll stow your gear in the provided storage containers on the back wall. This should include all bags, cameras, and other loose items. It's important to push them all the way into the bin. Then get onto the link chair the same way you might get onto a bike. Put one leg over and straddle the seat. Step all the way forward, and then sit down. Wait until you're seated before you put on your flight visors. Hold onto the hand grips as shown and slide forward against the chest pad. Soon after you're seated, back and leg restraints will be firmly engaged. And then you'll be ready to link. Please remember, for your safety, throughout this entire experience, always remain seated and supervise your children.
Once the link takes place, you'll be connected to your avatar and sitting on the back of an Ikran. It'll feel like you're really there. Moments later, you'll begin your flight. A Na'vi guide will lead you out. You'll experience the breathtaking beauty of Pandora, but you might also face some of its greatest challenges. Some of this flight might be intense, but trust your guide and be brave. As the Na'vi say during this important rite of passage, Sivak Ho, rise to the challenge. Good luck.
All right. You ready? Let's get you into the link chamber.
We have all right, as a reminder, there's no photography or video recording allowed. All right, guys, make sure you do as far forward as you can be all the way up to those.
Okay.
back. Congratulations on completing your rite of passage flight. Please step off the link chair, gather your belongings, and exit the link chamber.
So that is it, guys, for show number 185 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Thanks for tuning in this week. We really appreciate it. Go out to iTunes, give us a rating, let us know what you think. Send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. And for Sam, this is Ed, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Kungaloosh!